Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Berg. President Trump recently announced billions of dollars in tariffs against China because of intellectual property violations. But is the president's action a case of the pot calling the kettle black?
There's far more piracy going on, perhaps accidentally, in the United States than anywhere else. We are the worst offender.
That's Jamie Marcario. She's an attorney in Tampa, Florida, and the founder of Thrive Law, which helps protect intellectual property. Who owns what, and what you can do to protect yourself on this week's American Cafe. Last month, U.S. President Donald Trump announced a plan to impose billions of dollars of new tariffs on China. In making his announcement, the president said theft of so-called intellectual property was a major factor in his decision.
We have a tremendous intellectual property theft situation going on, which likewise is hundreds of billions of dollars.
To explore this more, I spoke with Jamie Marcario. She's an attorney in Tampa, Florida, who founded the firm Thrive Law, which helps protect the intellectual property rights of artists, musicians, writers, and other creators. I started by asking her exactly what is intellectual property.
So intellectual property is information or ideas is really what we're protecting. So ideas in the form of inventions, ideas in the form of visual art, musical art, or other written work product or literary work, and trademarks. So trademarks are really brands that allow you to know what the source of goods or services are. Like, where are these things coming from? So the most commonly known marks in the world are probably the Apple with the bite out of it, or the Nike swoosh. We know those are trademarks. Those are trademarks, and in some cases we know certain service marks as well. It's really the ideas that we're protecting. And what we're protecting them from is piracy, or someone stealing them and claiming those ideas as his or her or its own, when they're indeed owned by a certain individual or a certain company who should derive all of the monetary benefit from that.
And in the digital economy, this kind of thing is becoming more widespread, because if somebody has a digital file, let's say, like they have a photograph or something like that, that's a digital file, that's can be distributed through social media or other means all over the world.
Absolutely. In today's era of technology, everyone is online, and if you're not online, you can't sell your idea. So in order to sell the idea, you have to make some version of it available online in some format. And unfortunately, it's really easy to download, copy anything that is online in some kind of a digital file. So in order to both be available on the internet so that you can actually distribute your idea and go viral, which is everyone's dream, without suffering the economic damages that occur when someone steals your idea or your work online, there are things that the owners of that intellectual property can do when presenting their material online to protect against piracy, or to at least, if they can't protect against the piracy, to find the pirate and make them pay for it.
And what are some of those things?
You know, on a very basic level, if you absolutely have to promote your photography online in some kind of online portfolio in order for anyone to take you seriously and think that you know what you're doing and that you have an eye, et cetera, to appreciate your work. So you're going to promote it out there. But the best practice to avoid piracy altogether is to put it out there in a really low-resolution format so that it's really difficult to reuse that material if it's downloaded, and to put and embed a digital watermark in the visual work that will either cause the digital work to basically fall apart and be unable to be copied if it's a fragile type of a watermark. Or if it's a more robust watermark, it will actually track where that material goes and who downloaded it so that you can go after the person who stole your work and actually get them to take it down or to, you know, take down whatever they're doing with it, destroy it so that they're not any longer able to use it, and actually disgorge themselves of any profits that they've made off of selling your work.
How can people who are creators, people like musicians or others, protect themselves? And also, is the United States guilty of this kind of thing? Are we seeing this more here than anywhere else?
Yeah, so let me just take the first part of that question. That is, what can we do to protect against it? The very first and most important thing that any creative can do, and everyone is creative in some capacity, so there is, you're either an inventor, you're creating a visual work, you're creating a musical work, you're creating a literary work, what have you, or even a blog. You want to register your work with the appropriate office. It's either the copyright office, if it's a visual work or a musical work, or even some types of code, or a literary work, including things like a blog. You want to register those things with the United States Copyright Office. And in certain instances, if it's a patent, or if it's a trademark, or if it's a trade dress, so it's something that has an aesthetic that you're trying to protect, apart from function, you want to register those things with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And that, by doing that, if the United States Patent and Trademark Office or the U.S. Copyright Office approve your application to register your work, you're putting the world on notice that I'm the owner. I'm the presumed owner, and you're going to have to, the burden of proof lies with you to prove that you have a better claim to this work than I do. So the very first step is to basically put the world on notice that you're the owner by registering.
And that would be enforceable even if your product goes worldwide, because one of the president's arguments is that in the case of China, they had been taking intellectual property and using it to basically make the product without putting the name on it.
And in many cases, he is right. That is true. So there are, in China, although they are a member of and a signatory to one of the U.S. treaties that pertains to intellectual property, that particular country simply doesn't take that protection seriously. And so people are often wooed into registering their marks or their patents with China, in China, instead of just sticking to what's covered here under international treaties in the United States. So you would not just register for a United States patent, trademark, or copyright. You would want to invoke intellectual property treaties and register an international mark, but do it here in the United States, as opposed to registering something in China. In China, there is a large degree of corruption in that country, and so manufacturers of goods who go to that country who are able to find manufacturers who are on the up and up to do business with have a really great resource there, and just the knowledge of the right manufacturers to do business with in China is in and of itself intellectual property or a trade secret that you could actually protect.
It seems that in the digital age, there's a lot of, well, I can take that file because it's out there on YouTube, or it's out there on Spotify, or it's out there on some other platform that says, you know, well, I can take that. It doesn't really belong to anyone because it's on that platform.
That is a big problem, and there's far more piracy going on, perhaps accidentally, in the United States than anywhere else. We are the worst offenders in that there is a sense of knowledge and information entitlement. We presume that if someone posted it, it's okay for us to share. It's okay for us to download. It's okay for us to use in whatever way we want until we get a cease and desist letter or a takedown notice. So it's really important to just check your source before you download and repost or reuse someone else's intellectual property that you find online.
That's Jamie Marcario. If you would like more information about this subject, we'll have a link to her website on our Facebook page. Previous editions of our program are available at voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.